Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Feeling lucky? You should be. Meet the new Lucky One Sweet Tea from Miss Peaches, the vodka drink that's positively doing good. Made with real tea and real vodka, non-carbonated, 100 calories. And here's the scoop. Their new sweet tea is the only vodka-based sweet tea on the market. Simple ingredients in a smooth, full flavor that makes it taste just like the real sweet tea. Best part? Every can helps rescue dogs find their forever homes as they work to a goal of donating $1 million to dog rescues in 2026. So if you love true sweet tea, this one's a no-brainer. Pick up a Lucky One sweet tea today and give back one can at a time.
To infinity and beyond!
We're in the endgame now.
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 146. Jeff Flow, Ken Jack, Trill Ballins. It's Avengers week here on Lights, Camera, Barstool and around the world. Avengers is coming out today. This is going to drop, well, this will likely drop after midnight. We're just going to say it is. Happy Avengers Day. Avengers Endgame finally here. I think the excitement has hit its peak. Ken Jack and I have seen it. But what do you think, Trill?
No, I was going to say, you guys have seen it. I don't want to spoil the review. I don't want you guys to say too much, but I don't want to put words in your mouth either, but you guys loved it. You loved it.
That's correct.
Folks, we loved it. It was so good.
Yeah, Ken Jack gave it a whopping 98. Big score.
Oh, damn.
Big time score. I think I gave it, I don't know where Trill's going to land on it. I feel like he's going to be closer to you, Jeff.
Yeah, maybe. I have a 93, tied it with Infinity War. I think they're one movie. Like, it's just, they're really just one movie. I am excited to watch these back-to-back for the first time. Like, just a long rainy day or snowy day, watch them back-to-back. A 93, tied for third best comic book movie I've ever seen. 78 out of 100 on Metacritic, which is pretty fucking good on Metacritic. I think that's the second highest Marvel movie. And then Rotten Tomatoes, about 200 reviews, it's at a 97%, which is tied with Black Panther for highest approval rating for a Marvel movie, which is insane.
Are the usual suspects down on...
Oh, did Richard Brody hate it?
I don't know, Jim. let me see if he – I didn't check his. So remember, he did his Captain Marvel review like weeks after the fact. Avengers Endgame, Richard Brody.
I feel like he hates it. I mean, not good reason.
Nah, he hasn't. He hasn't reviewed it yet. Only his only his Infinity War one is up. Ugh, the latest Marvel movie is a 2.5-hour ad for all the previous Marvel movies. Okay. Nice.
The latest Marvel movie is called Endgame, but folks, I couldn't wait for this game to end.
Nice job, Dick.
2007 blog. Hit the jump to read more.
Folks, Richard Brody, I've joined the Atlantic.
After the jump. I miss After the Jump. Can I add
after
that?
The jump. After the jump. What did ads on the internet used to be? I don't even remember.
Porn?
Probably.
Yeah, just porn. But yeah, massive reviews. Positive reviews even from them, from some people who don't think it's amazing. Like, here's one: an earnest, overstuffed, fitfully funny superhero melodrama. Endgame hits the buttons it wants to hit, and sometimes affectingly. So even people who aren't totally in on these all the time are still enjoying it and see it for what it is. I don't want to say too much. It's definitely the more emotional movie than Infinity War. It's long, but it doesn't feel long. I've been selling this to everyone, though. The pee break is the big advice. If you want to pee, go in the first hour. Even then, you're risking missing something important. But after you're an hour in, if you get up and leave, I mean, at that point, you're missing something that you'll be bummed you missed.
I'd say the first hour after, like, the 20-minute mark is, like, that's the sweet spot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good pick. Yeah.
Did Jeff have to pee?
Oh, yeah.
I think you peed twice before the movie started. And there's no one trailers.
Get it
once,
out.
Yeah, right before.
He's just milking himself.
And then I went again really quickly. It worked out well. I actually went in the bathroom the second time, and there was a guy with his hand up on the wall, like straddling the urinal, and he was going, oh.
Got to get the Venom out.
Shout out to that guy.
I'm excited for it because it will finally replace Game of Thrones as the NBA Finals meme of choice. So instead of like photoshopping the Night King in for Dame Lillard, it'll be Hawkeye.
Yeah, like, Hawkeye's not in this movie though.
That face when you hit that shot, and it's just like Jeremy Renner in a Blazers uniform instead of having Brand Photoshop just photoshopped over Dame Lillard.
Yeah, so we didn't see it with fans. We saw it with critics/fans. So we got a good experience. People were going nuts. If you don't want cheering and shit, do not go opening weekend. And you know what? It adds to it. I'm fine with it for this. It truly adds to the experience. It's emotional. I mean, I fucking cried. Coley walked into the office red in the face, and people were like, holy shit, were you just...
I think I clocked in, I think, at least four, and all four were... They were very heart-wrenching moments in that film, and it is... They really get you, and there's a lot of gamuts of emotion they run you through. Like, you don't know whether you're supposed to be laughing or crying or being angry or being, like, having your heart rate through the roof. Like, you just don't know how to react, and that's... It's a testament to the movie, but we'll talk about it more after the jump.
Yeah.
Do you feel like a chapter in your life has been closed?
Oh, yeah.
So you're getting sentimental because you feel like this cast of Avengers has seen you through the last 10 years of your life. You basically become an adult.
11, dude. I was 15 when the first one came out. It's wild. Mm.
Yeah, there's a couple, like, I'm not going to talk about it, but there's a couple things that spark reactions for a reason. And a lot of it, just beginning to end, this isn't even a spoiler, beginning to end, almost everything that happens is just like, it is like closing a chapter. Mm. Especially if you love these movies and have connected to them and enjoyed them over the years. So
I feel the way about 303 when I hear their music.
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah, I think back to those sentimental nights in 2009, listening to My First Kiss with Kesha.
By the way, Taylor Swift's album's coming out on Thursday. Very excited to hear your thoughts on it on Sunday's pod.
Is it an album?
Oh, I don't know. Her song. Whatever she comes out with, our next pod on Monday, actually, we want your thoughts. There will be a segment where you give your thoughts.
I think it's a music video, and you made fun of me today because I was worried her new aesthetic is biting Casey Musgraves quite hard.
I wasn't making fun of you.
No, I don't think anyone was making fun of you. So we agreed with you.
LOL major ripoff. I thought you were making fun of me because they were like, pictures weren't all that similar.
But no, they were very similar.
Pastel Instagrammy filter type thing. It's like an anthropology type vibe.
Yeah. I wasn't saying that you ripped us off. I'm saying that she ripped off. I mean, it's very similar. You're right. So we'll see what she throws out there. We'll get your full review. We just two things. We just tweeted out, actually. It's live now on our Twitter. It'll be on YouTube and in BarstoolSports.com. A 10-minute recap of all 21 Marvel movies. Crammed it in. I talked really fast. Kenjek and Robbie helped me write the script. Very hard to recap those movies in under 10 minutes. Just got it in under the wire. It clocks in at 9:59, the whole video. I think the recap ends at like 9:56. So go watch that if you want a refresher. If you want to watch movies before you see it, I'd suggest at this point almost everything. So, you know, go watch some of the old ones if you want. Maybe watch Infinity War, but you really can't consume enough before you go in and see this. So excited for that. And on Thursday night, April 25th, 9:15 p.m., check the Lights, Camera, Barstool podcast feed. That's all we're going to say now. 9:15 p.m., check that feed. Unless you're in the movie, don't do that.
We got something for the hogs, don't we?
Ooh, yes, we do. Very excited about it.
Dude, what fucking pig have you ever seen a pig in your life make that noise? It's a fucking screech.
That's a pig from the Bass Pro Shop Pyramid.
Yeah,
know, man. Pig. Come down to the Kentucky State Fair.
Is it a prize winning hog?
Yeah, if you're looking to get your ass kicked, meet me by Kentucky Kingdom.
Do you have a prize winning? Do you have a prize winning hog?
Yeah, that's his name's Old Gus. Weighs about 625 pounds.
Yeah, Trill's hog won the prize. Sharpest hog. wettest in show.
You see, this here is old Gus. The old Gus don't like being stared at too much, but I'll tell you what. Don't go downwind of this angry feller. Sir, this is a blue ribbon pig.
Award winner right here. Shout out Charlotte.
We are going to be reviewing Avengers Endgame, our normal review next week with James, Mr. Sunday Movies. I think we're going to be doing top 10 or 5. I don't want to make him do a comic thing every time he comes on. I think we're going to do top 10 movie letdowns. This movie's not going to be a letdown, but like in terms of hype, like I feel like it'd be fun to talk about movies that let you down. So we'll do that. We're going to do audience questions today. We're also reviewing Pet Sematary and The Curse of La Llorona. And one of them, awful time watching it. Very excited to talk about that. But first, we got to get into a quick ad read. Big trailer, too. Trailer for a movie that Trill Bolland said he was excited to see this year. Finally came out. We'll get to that in a second. But first up, this episode brought to you in part by SeatGeek. We have the SeatGeek app on our phone, and it's by far the easiest way we've found to shop for tickets. You can be anywhere with just a few taps. You can instantly find seats. We just use SeatGeek, actually. All three of us. We're going to see Pink at Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky with Julia Michaels. Isn't that right, guys?
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited. You still need to book my flights.
I like Julia Michaels.
Mm-hmm. She's good.
I've got issues.
Good impression.
One of them is how much I need you.
Better impression than your pig impression.
Now, you come by old Gus's stall, you better respect my hog.
Gus, the spinoff character to Gabe, or Babe, excuse me.
Are you looking in old Gus's cloudy eyes?
He's got the milkiest eyes, just a blind hog.
Gus.
SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. It's the big fucking dots, red, yellow, and green. It's very easy. The dumbest person in the world can figure it out on SeatGeek. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, our audience gets $10 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LIGHTS today. That's promo code LIGHTS, L-I-G-H-T-S, for $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All right. Well, we already went into it. Our first news item was Avengers Endgame, big reviews. We already said that. So we'll move on to the next thing. Is it Gemini or Gemini Man? Because first man fucked me up.
It's true. They said Gemini, but I feel like it's Gemini. Did they say the title of the movie in the trailer? I didn't notice.
I don't actually remember now. I'm going Gemini. Gemini Man, an elite assassin, becomes a target of a mysterious young operative who can seemingly predict his every move. Will Smith, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Benedict Wong, Clive Owen. Trill, I'll let you go first. You had this on your most anticipated movie list for 2019.
I still like it. Maybe wouldn't put it on my list again if I could get a do-over. I saw Ang Lee and I thought Will Smith were going to get together and we get something really cool. And I think this still has the opportunity to be cool, but I just wasn't too excited by the trailer. I liked the de-aged Will Smith. I thought that was really freaky. It was very startling. It has serious Looper vibes to it with the whole concept of the younger and older self, even though this one's a clone and Looper was time travel. I liked it. I wasn't in love with it. I'm very neutral. I'm very down the middle. You know what I'm saying?
It's basically the Born Looper, or like, what do you call it? You ever see that movie? I think it's just called Soldier or something with Kurt Russell. You know what I'm talking about? Where it's like he's a version of a soldier, and then he gets outdated, and they make a new version of soldiers, and they send the new soldiers to kill the old soldier.
Oh, I don't think I ever saw that, but now I want to see that.
It was a badass movie. He gets stranded on a trash planet, like basically a Sakaar, except it's not cool because there's no Jeff Goldblum. But yeah, no, it was a pretty good movie, and I think that's what this looks like to me. And I don't know. I think their de-aging process, whatever they used, it looks good. Like Will Smith does look super young in what the de-aged version of himself, but I'm not overly interested in this concept based off of what was presented in that trailer.
The trailer was... Just visually not very stimulating.
No.
Aside from the big de-aged Will Smith, which that was, if a trailer has a water cooler moment, that was the water cooler moment of this trailer. Like, that's the one everybody talks about and brings up.
How many water coolers nationwide had to talk about this trailer?
One, two.
Hey, did you guys see Gemini Man? No, dude, but I was down at the Kentucky State Fair and I saw Old Gus.
I saw Old Gus. Now you go down to Old Gus. I'll tell you what, Dutch. This hog, he stinks something fierce.
Oh, my God.
If you go grab me a Frito walking taco, I'll let you scoop up Old Gus's doo-doo with this pitchfork. You hear?
Oh, my God. Old Gus, the newest character from Lights, Camera, Barstool.
No. But it just, like, aside from that, there wasn't anything. It kind of looked like, dark. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just wasn't vibrant, and maybe that's definitely what they're going for, but it just didn't really do it for me.
Let me know if I'm crazier. Did it look like some of the shit was just on green screen? Like, some scenes were completely on green screens? Like, visual effects, it looked really bad.
I think the de-aging of Smith looked good, but the actual scenery, you're right. I totally agree. It looked like green screen, especially the motorcycle, whatever chase thing. Like, very clearly not a real motorcycle at all. Like, I'm not sure what that was, but those effects looked like trash.
Yeah, and there was one scene where they were, like, with the sky in the background. Like, it's like a blue sky, like, nice day, and it just looks fake. Fake behind. Maybe the whole budget went to Will Smith, because the young Will Smith looks great, but everything else just kind of looks like off, like just off.
They still have a lot of time, though. This comes out October 11th, so they could tweak it, to be fair to it. I think mostly just the way the movie looked in terms of what was presented to me in the trailer and the visual appeal of it, it just was not hitting for me.
I agree with you. I also don't think that the actual cast was that great. But I love Benedict Wong. Mary Elizabeth Winstead, I can't decide if I like her or not. Like, I can't figure it out, like, how I feel about her vibe, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Same here, on the fence. Sure, she's a nice person.
I did like her a lot in Fargo, but I don't think I've seen anything else that I've genuinely liked her in.
Final Godzilla, we'll move on from Gemini Man, or Gemini. I mean, that's fucking First Man. Just blew our world up there with that word that we never use. Final Godzilla trailer came out. They had an extended preview during Game of Thrones. Oh, you just played the video. It's like why did I just hear my voice on the other end?
Just a little feedback.
Final Godzilla trailer. They released a shortened version. I thought there was going to be the full 5-minute IMAX preview. That was a bit of a bummer because I want to see that again in HD. But the Final Godzilla trailer came out. Still looks great. Like, I mean, I didn't like
this one nearly as much as the other ones.
I think it's tough to follow it up, though. The other two were so great, and the IMAX thing was unbelievable. But I mean, I'm still excited for it. Like, I'm still looking forward to it.
So what stands out to me in this trailer is the line between Kyle Chandler and Bradley Whitford when Godzilla comes out of the water, and Kyle Chandler goes, "My God," and then Bradley Whitford goes, "Zilla." Like, fuck you. That's terrible. What a terrible fucking line.
He's playing Josh Lyman from
West Wing. That's something I would make up if you told me to make a script right now for fucking Godzilla. That was a terrible line. And I didn't like the Over the Rainbow remix they used in the trailer. That is reserved. That song is reserved for Israel. Was it Kamikawole? Israel Kamikawole? I think that's that song you can't use without his permission. And he's big, rest in peace.
Is that the ukulele?
Yeah.
Version? Yeah, this is good. I'm ready for the movie. I feel like we've seen 800 trailers for this.
Did you like that line?
I loved it.
My God, Zilla! Oh, you rascal.
I just want to note that a tweet just came out that the new trailer for Men in Black International is dropping at 12 Pacific time, midnight, 3 a.m. Eastern time.
All right, well, fuck that. What? I mean,
I don't understand.
Wait, what time is that? What time is that in Europe, though? Because this is international.
Maybe that's the case. That's crazy. Maybe, I guess that's the reason it's international. All right, I'll go with that. I'll roll with that. But even so, remember the X-Men trailer dropped at like 12:30 a.m.?
What a great bit for them. Like, they just do everything like, yeah, this movie comes out like, you're going to, they're going to use like the metric system for everything. They're going to like I don't know, do Euros. I ran out of material on this bit, but you get where I was going with it.
I do. Yeah. I do know where you were going. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll talk about that one on Sunday, I guess. All right. So final Godzilla trailer coming out soon. Once again, still very excited for that movie. Here's something we didn't expect. Bond 25 news coming out tomorrow morning. So that is April 25th. Coming out at 5 a.m. Pacific time, so 8:10 a.m. Eastern time. I guess by the time you're listening, you'll most likely know what it is. Coming tomorrow, the Bond 25 live reveal from an iconic 007 location. Ask the cast a question. So you're going to see cast announcements. and
the location is facility, proximity mines.
Rami Malek now. See, you're don't self-deprecate. Rami Malek playing the villain has been the rumor for a while. So we'll see. I guess we don't know what to expect. I mean, is there something you want to see with this?
Tell me what you're a fan of, bad guy. I'm a fan of Freddie Mercury. I'm a fan of my mom.
Prankster. What did you say? I'm a trickster or something?
I'm a fan of, I don't know. I don't remember. I just love that video. That's just his bad guy monologue. That was probably a screen test. I'm real excited for this one because Cary Fukunaga is probably the reason True Detective season one was as good as it was. Mm-hmm. We always talk about the tracking shot. Gotta love that tracking shot. But I go back to that. That was a standout moment. I think this movie will get it back on track. Not that like one movie means it was off track, but Spectre was such a pile of crap after Skyfall, which is, I think it's the best Daniel Craig Bond. I don't feel like that's a hot take.
What do you want?
Skyfall?
Yeah, Skyfall is definitely the best Bond one.
It's Skyfall.
Or the best Craig one, rather.
I go Skyfall, Casino Royale, and they could be close, or you could put Casino Royale over Skyfall, depending on what your taste is. And then Quantum of Solace and Spectre was last for me.
Yeah, big time last. I would flip Casino Royale, but not by much. I think they're neck and neck for the most part.
Jeff loves watching him get walloped in the balls. Shillelagh.
I want to see
slow that scene down.
I want to see Daniel Craig as James Bond, obviously, in this movie. Just silently roll up and ram his electric Aston Martin to a bad guy. I can't even hear it coming. It's that quiet.
You don't want him to be driving a Miata? That life passed him? He's too old?
There will be cars in this reveal for sure.
It's going to be the electric car. That was the big hubbub, right?
Yeah. But I'm just saying, we'll see a reveal of cars. Do you think, and I think I know the answer to this, do you think that something that's hurt the hype for this movie, and once it gets rolling, people get excited, is that the Bond most talked about was the Bond after this Bond. Like, who is going to play the next Bond? Like, we got so far ahead of ourselves that we didn't even know anything about the actual next Bond movie, and we were talking about the next one after that, which won't come out for like 5 or 6 years at this point.
Oh, I it definitely hurt it. And part of that is because I think Spectre was so bad that we just,
yeah.
I don't know how many people have high hopes for this one. It does seem to follow a pattern because it goes good, bad, and this will be good. So bookend the Daniel Craig James Bond collection with two good movies. I just think that plus Spectre being bad hurt it. And honestly, I think Daniel Craig's been a great Bond. Like, I'm not a huge Bond guy. I know people can rank them all and have strong opinions on Timothy Dalton and what they feel about him. I pretty much just know Daniel Craig, Sean Connery, and Pierce Brosnan. Like, that's my frame of reference. But I think Daniel Craig was a really good Bond. I like the direction they went with this, but I think everybody was really interested in a new direction. And that's the curse of playing James Bond. They just use you up for 4 or 5 films and throw you away.
Yeah, I agree. I think Daniel Craig was a good gritty reboot of what has usually been throughout basically all of Bond history, except for maybe Sean Connery, like a pretty refined character. And I think that he was cool, more grounded, a little more like authentic, I guess, as far as like how we would perceive like a badass to be. And I don't know. I'm just curious how they go with this, especially with what's his name as a villain. What type of villain do you think he's going to be? Because every Bond villain sort of falls into the same like sort of trope where either they're like some sort of billionaire turned evil genius or ex special forces. like or ex-spy or some sort. So I don't know which one he's going to be, but I'm thinking he's going to be like a tech billionaire, and yes, it's going to be like a Black Mirror episode.
Yeah, if I had to bet. Now, they kind of did that a little bit. They touched on it. It was like a Steve Jobs, Rupert Murdoch combination guy.
Which one?
It was one of the Brosnan ones. I think it was it with Michelle Yeoh?
Oh.
Or I can't remember. But the bad guy, he had a news organization, and I think he was trying to – it's been 15, 20 years since I've seen this. I think he was trying to manipulate world events to make more news money for himself.
Was that the one where they start in North Korea and like they have that guy with the metal in his face?
Maybe I'm getting it all mixed up. It wasn't. I'll finish talking, then I'll look for it because I know it's going to bother us. But I think that Rami Malek is better if he was more of the cerebral bad guy, even though I feel like that's what we've gotten in all these Bond movies. I don't, as the main villain, because, you know, Javier Bardem was a psycho, but he was like a silent psycho to some parts.
So it was Tomorrow Never Dies, and the media mogul was played by, I think, Terrence Stamp.
Terrence Stamp, that's right.
I think, wait, hold on, let me double check. The villain's name was Elliot Carver. It was Carver Media. Oh, it's Jonathan Pryce. It's the High Sparrow from Game of Thrones. There's our Game of Thrones talk for the day. High Chancellor Valorum. What a cuck.
He fucking hates Star Wars, if I recall.
He should. He's the most useless character ever.
Actually, we've told that story, how excited he was to do it and meet Natalie Portman, and he didn't get the fucking meter. He just filmed the scenes, and they whisked him away. And then, wait, he got like a watch from George? Have we told that story?
No, I don't think so. Not the watch one.
Let me look that up. I'll tell that story on this pod. Mm. Oh, my God.
Good old Terrence Stamp. I don't really remember this one. I just remember the North Korea Brosnan one.
Jeff, what do you think? Like, how does Malik play this?
I cannot see him as anything other than his Mr. Robot character. Like, I'll have to see it to understand. Like, I just cannot. I mean, that's not a knock on him because I do like Rami Malik. I'll have to see it. I mean, that's no different than if someone had been like Heath Ledger, Joker, Robert Downey Jr., Tony Stark. But granted, I didn't know who the fuck Tony Stark was when that got announced. But, you know, it's one of those things you kind of got to see before you. I have to see it. I really can't think about. I think you're on the right track, but I can't think about what I would see him like as a villain. I think it'll be funny it's not him. Like they're like, oh, tabloids are wrong.
He's gonna be like that billionaire from Veep. Was his name in Craig or something? Right,
Craig.
Yeah, no, it's not Craig. It's Craig, and to keep like correcting her over and over again.
He the same guy played that annoying fucking character on the commercials during the Infinity Blade tournament, like the AT&T commercial. Oh, piece of right. Shit.
Yeah, I think that's what it's going to be.
I think Rami Malek's name is going to be Damian Price.
You just combined Jonathan Price from the same actor who played that guy.
No, but it sounds good. That sounds like you're either a singer songwriter or a very successful tech billionaire.
What if it's like Burt Michael? I like that one better.
Burt.
What if his name is Old Gus? Coming around the farm again to get good old 007.
Well, old boss hog, about 5 years ago, James Bond came in and garroted him to death. Now I got old Gus.
That's the new Bond, like his number one henchman. He has made it past the first three levels of our tower. You must release old Gus.
Just a minute. Yeah, like Rami Malek's character is a farmer in Nebraska, and he just throws he throws Bond into the hog pit.
Yes,
and he's just wrestling with these 600-pound hogs.
This is hog wrestling, like what was that Bruce Lee movie? It was Game of Death at the big tower that he has to fight his way through. That's like level three. Is he has to fight old Gus in the pig pen?
It's a 70-minute movie where he's just fighting through different, like, just a sequentially bigger and bigger hog.
Oh God! and at the end, it's just the pog from or the giant pig that was Akira, the fucking anime movie, the giant warthog.
Man,
it's Ganon from Zelda in hog form.
It would fucking rule if they comes out tomorrow that Rami's villain's name is Gus. That would be that'd be amazing. Gus. man, I had something else. I think I forgot.
you ever been to Nebraska, Mr. Bond? Old Gus was born and raised here. All 537 pounds of him.
He's sitting out there baking in the heat while you're out there drinking your martinis.
Had myself a 97 Super Duty, but had to get a new Super Duty dually. The reinforced axle just to haul Old Gus all the way to Louisville, Kentucky.
This is the best bit we've ever had.
What a character.
The listeners are going to hate this shit. So all right.
Yeah, I don't know how Gus is going to play.
It's not going to play well. It's 90s episode part two.
Old Gus might not play. We'll see. I like Old Gus. This episode brought to you in part by LinkedIn.
By Old Gus.
By Pork Chops.
How do you guys say LinkedIn? LinkedIn?
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. Craig?
Sounds like we're all saying it the same. I guess not.
Old Gus would like to connect with you on the professional network.
Old Gus would like to endorse you for trough eating.
Now we're just doing the Yoda bit with Old Gus.
That's basically what you're doing. You're just doing a different voice.
That's just what happens when you get to episode 150.
LinkedIn people are gonna be like, did those guys do the Yoda thing again? Like, no, they did some weird farmer pig guy this time.
We gave them the gorillas ad that one time. I think that they owe us at this point.
It's true. When it's time to make a hire for your small business, naturally you want to find the best person for the job. Odds are that person, they are on LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to get matched with quality candidates who make the most sense for your role. They use knowledge of both hard skills and soft skills to match you with the people who fit your role the best. People come to LinkedIn every day to learn and advance their career. So LinkedIn understands what they're interested in and looking for, which means you use LinkedIn Jobs to hire someone. Your matches are based on so much more than a resume. Customers rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires. Matching lets you quickly get a group of the most relevant qualified candidates for your role. Post a job today at linkedin.com/lights, LIGHTS, and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/lights. Terms and conditions apply. Disney canceled a bunch of Fox movies and then kept a couple. I didn't look up what some of these are because I want to look them up as we read about them. They kept Kingsman. The no smoking thing is interesting because the quote it's kind of hard to understand. And you just sent an Old Gus meme. I mean, I gotta tweet that out. I'm tweeting that out.
Oh, look, it's Old Gus with a trio of large adult sons. Oh my God, this rules.
I do like this thing where we do tweet
maybe
out.
Don't include the kids.
I mean, whatever. I don't.
Is it on Google? Okay. He's drooling.
This I got it on Google.
Well, it's on Google.
I just searched prize hog.
search. Go to our Twitter. We tweeted it out. No context, just a picture of Old Gus. all right. Okay. So anyway, West Side Story, it's still happening. And the Alan Horn from Disney commented on the fact that they do smoke in West Side Story. Young people do. He said, with Fox, we can make movies that right now I say no to. We always have to think about the smoking policy. The audience for a Disney movie may not know what they are going to see, but they know what they aren't going to see. There are certain things we just can't include because we'll get letters. I don't know if that means he can't do it in a Disney movie or if he's saying because they own Fox, they can do it now. But there is some controversy on that. And then obviously, like I said, the Kingsman thing is going forward with the Tooch Man, Stanley Tucci. But there are some things canceled. A temple movie called Mouse Guard. Do we know what that is? Mouse Guard?
What do you put in your mouth to stop yourself from biting your tongue?
Is it a Redwall? Is it a Redwall thing?
Mouse Guard is an American bi-monthly comic book series written and illustrated by David Peterson and published by some studio. So it's like a tentpole franchise.
Something you buy to stop like mice from coming in your home.
I mean, it's just these are just fucking – it looks like Lord of the Rings mice.
Sounds like a gaming accessory.
Yeah, it does.
Stops crumbs from getting into your mouse.
That's a big tentpole franchise. They got rid of that. News of the World with Tom Hanks. That's gone to Universal now. So they got rid of that. And then they got rid of On the Come Up. I don't know what that is. And then they got rid of Fruit Loops. Fruit Loops is a dramedy with Woody Harrelson. A mental hospital set dramedy with Woody Harrelson.
That sounds so fun and cool.
Yeah, News of the World. In the wake of the Civil War, Captain Jefferson Kyle Kidd travels through northern Texas, yada, yada, yada. That was going to be involved with old Tom Hanks. So those things are canceled. I don't really care about any of them. Some are moved over, others canceled. That doesn't affect me one way or the other. I mean, I feel like Disney can't come out with a zillion movies, so just cutting the fat a little bit. Trimming the fat. I wish they would have cut the West Side Story movie, something we definitely don't need.
You're not looking forward to West Side Story 2020?
The young girl they cast, though, in the lead role, incredible.
So
singer.
Good. Her voice is insane.
They found her online?
Yeah. She's an unknown.
Yeah.
Or so at least that's cool. Popular online.
Yeah. That's cool.
I'm excited for it just based on that.
I guess that's enough to get me somewhat excited.
I mean, they found a person online, and now they're in a big, big movie. It's pretty crazy. But yeah, the rest,
cool, I guess.
I kind of go between it because, like, while none of the movies really excite me, it does kind of suck that, like, maybe there are less movies, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And that's not a great thing. And that's part of the problem that people have with the merger. But also at the same time, I'm going to sit back and wait to see what they do. On the Come Up's a young adult novel, a 2019 young adult novel. It is set in the same fictional universe as The Hate U Give. That's right. That's right. But The Hate U Give lost a lot of money. So that's partly why Disney did that.
Did it really? It lost money?
Yeah. The marketing budget was like $30 million, something like that. The movie budget was 20. I agree. That is not great, but let's see how they repurpose. Hopefully they do take advantage of the extra studios and come out with some original stuff while they release their tent poles and their comic books and their Star Wars, which we all gobble up like hogs. Yeah. So that's that on Disney. That's a relevant news topic we had to hit. Essentially.
I refrained from going into it.
Yeah. Let's give it some time to fester for a little bit.
It's going
to
breathe. It's going to breathe until the audience questions.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really care too much about many of these properties, although I am in the camp of Troll and that I think this West Side Story is going to be good. And like you said, that singer's voice, that whatever that Instagram that she posted at first singing, good Lord.
G Officer Krupke.
You gotta agree.
That might be the closing song. That's a great song.
This is a great song. I think it's better than Maria, personally.
It's my favorite one from there.
Maria. She reminds me of West Side Story.
Oscars, some news. Netflix movie still eligible. None of that shit got changed. It's gone. That's over with for now. In the animated feature category, the theatrical release of 8 eligible animated features in the calendar year is no longer required for the awards to be activated. I don't know what the fuck that means. The foreign language film category name has been changed to international feature film. However, it still has the same rules as before, meaning that this doesn't mean like British movies can be nominated. It's still foreign language. They just changed the name of it. Kind of just a weird move, but whatever. In the makeup and hairstyling category, the number of nominated films has increased from 3 to 5. I think that makes sense. I never quite understood why it was only 3. In the short film categories, animated and live action short now have the option to qualify theatrically in either the city of New York or Los Angeles County to be eligible for submission. So I guess that means we can try to submit something, which we'll do eventually, like a small movie.
We'll get
that. Small changes, nothing big, which is good. We didn't have to worry about the whole Netflix shit. Detective Pikachu. First stuff coming out for Detective Pikachu, and folks, people love it. Ken Jack and I are very excited. We've already talked about that. Trill, where are you at with Detective Pikachu as not being a Pikachu guy?
I'm very excited. I love it. I love this little Pikachu dude. And the combination of Ryan Reynolds' voice works too well with it.
Friend of the pod, Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, correct. He likes your tweets, and that's really cool. It works really well. And you probably can go back and listen to old episodes where we're cracking up shitting on this idea and how ridiculous it is. I'm the first one who'll say, oh, man up, say I was wrong, and I'm super excited for it.
Well, like, that's not on us, right? So when an idea comes out and it sounds so ridiculous, they have to expect people to kind of react the way they react, and it's on them. The onus is on them to prove us wrong at that point when they start off with the concept that ridiculous.
That's fair. I think it also, that news somewhat coming out at the same time as the whole Pikachu saying I love you in the animated movie.
True.
It was just weird. It felt weird. Like, that was the voice we were going to get. But, you know, Pikachu, this tiny little rat creature, sounding like a fully grown middle-aged man, that's fucking funny.
It is very funny.
Pokemon look good too. I mean, the whole
voice
thing
was perfect. And I remember we talked about back in the day, like Chris Pratt, The Rock. I mean, it's perfect, Ryan Reynolds. The reviews are glowing. People say it's jam-packed with action, will make you wish you lived in the world of Pokemon. They say the Pokemon look unbelievable. Some moments will have you shocked. Fans of Pokemon will be amped. I'm very excited. I mean, obviously, I'm not a Pokemon fan like I used to be. But I loved it growing up. Loved the TV show. TV show fucking ruled. The first movie was awesome. Just seeing that the reviews are great is very – it's awesome. I'm not Endgame excited for this movie, but this is top five probably rest of the year for me.
I wonder how well it'll do internationally.
I think it's going to kill. It's gonna
for sure going to kill overseas, I would imagine.
I would assume so. But, you know, I don't know. It's a very American concept.
Asia is going to watch the shit out of this
Pokemon?
Movie,
not Pokemon, but just like the whole like noir detective vibe with the detective hat.
Yeah, maybe, but the attractive part of the movie is that it's Pokemon, not that it's a noir detective.
Yeah,
movie.
That's true. I don't know. Maybe got to be careful with the Pikachu character. Like, you know, in anime, like a lot of the male leads will have an English dubbed voice that's very masculine. And then the Japanese dub voice will be a woman voice in the role.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that Ryan Reynolds is someone that has a ton of goodwill, both with us and overseas, as far as I'm aware, with his international movies. So I think that he'll get a little bit of leeway there.
They did a big tour in Asia, too, I know. And obviously Pokemon originates in Asia. I assume there, which is the most important market for that, it will make shitload of money. Next up. Lionsgate's Chaos Walking, starring Tom Holland and Daisy Ridley, was deemed unreleasable before reshoots. Unreleasable. Like, this can't leave our desks, basically. That's just...
Not even a Netflix dump?
Yeah, like, this can't go to anybody. This can't go to your brother, your neighbor. Like, this needs to stay here, but... They did reshoots, and we'll see. I don't know too much about this movie.
$100 million movie, which is insane.
It's insane.
Damn. Okay, here's the premise. In the near future, Todd Hewlett has been brought up to believe that a viral germ has killed all women in a colony world and unleashed noise, the special ability to hear people's and animals' minds. So then I guess he meets up with a mysterious woman who I'm assuming is Daisy Ridley's character, and on the run, they learn more about the true history of the new world. Which I guess I can kind of get that when you have a sci-fi is real hard to do. What was the Valerian?
Valerian.
Yeah. Like, you really like that, Jeff. It was a cool concept, but just the execution I thought was really awkward at times. So even though it had a cool concept, it like really wasn't all that great of a movie to me. It's just tough. Something that can make a good book, which is why it's impressive. Annihilation was as good as it was. Can actually like be a good movie, and they can get that vision out on screen. So I could see how they'd scrap this.
The weird thing is, like, this is Doug Liman joint, right? And Doug Liman has like kind of a weird history in that, like, Swingers is awesome, obviously. And Edge of Tomorrow was a really good sci-fi adaptation. And I think that was based off of a book or graphic novel as well. Or am I making that up? I'm not sure. That might not be true. Mr. Smith is good, but then like Jumper, like you could barely qualify Jumper as a movie at some points. So like he's kind of a weird checkered history. And you know what he was involved with for a pretty decent amount of time, Gambit.
Oh, I did not know that. Oh, Jesus.
So this is all coming full circle back to Gambit as to like why this movie has been in development hell forever. This is a Doug Liman joint. Doug Liman, come on the pod. Like, you did make some very good movies, but I want to figure out what's going on.
The first one.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think he produced. Did he produce the other ones too?
I would imagine if he did the first one. Yeah. Yeah, they've been trying to make this movie for a while. It's coming out in 2020 now.
Oh, so they're still trying to make it work. They just can't release it right now.
Yeah, they're trying to just do the research or whatever, just like they did with New Mutants, which I'm sure would be great.
I just assume they scrapped it entirely.
No, they're on the reshoot life right now. Oof.
Yeah, Tom Holland is playing Todd, which Tom Holland doesn't look like a Todd.
No, so. Todd's a stepdad name.
You know my dad?
You know my real dad, Todd? Ooh, you know what? In that movie,
Soldier, my dad's a farmer in Nebraska.
In that movie, the soldier one with Kurt Russell, I think his name was Todd, like Todd 117 or something. Like he's fucking Master Chief. I'm looking up this movie. I gotta
Todd. Todd 117 has been given 8 ounces of Monster Energy. Let's see how he reacts.
It was Soldier. Shit, Todd with 2 D's.
Oh, 2 D's is great. That's a great Todd.
We.
Sergeant Todd 3765.
See, I told Sergeant Todd. That's amazing. Sergeant Todd 3465. Who's that on the line? Sergeant Todd. Oh my god, Jason Isaacs too. And Connie Nielsen. Shit.
Sergeant Todd 3465. Do you hear me? This is Major Chip 4281.
The
ground control to Sergeant Todd.
First reactions to Gus, people saying the picture of Gus on our Twitter. Cannot wait for the context. Also, someone said, I don't know how to feel about this.
People don't like old Gus?
Not sure.
You go to the vending stand and you go get yourself a frozen lemonade and come feed it to old Gus.
Old Gus, he likes Chex Mix.
Old Gus isn't very friendly when you're eating that funnel cake in front of him. He might want some of that.
Listen here, old Gus can get quite ornery if you don't feed him some of that funnel cake.
Sometimes I take old Gus and I put him into a sling and I just cradle him like a baby.
He's 700 pounds. He does crush you.
Oh, old Gus, I mean, you may think he is a female at first because of his elongated nipples, but do not be confused. Old Gus is a hog bull.
Oh, man, elongated nipples. It's not something I thought I'd hear on today's podcast.
Oh, no. Let's move on. Let's see if you can connect Gus to this one. Adam McKay, Showtime drama about it's a drama Showtime about the Los Angeles Lakers. The 1980s LA Lakers from Adam McKay gets HBO pilot order. That kind of fucking rules. I'm excited for that.
Who would you want to cast in this? I think Michael Douglas as Pat Riley.
I'd be too old now. He's definitely too old now.
Just dye his hair.
Just Ron Popeil spray paint it.
Yeah, just spray it on. It'll look fine. Ooh. Just cut him in half. Like the boat guy, whatever his name is.
What about Willem Dafoe as Pat Riley?
Godspeed, Spider-Man.
Magic.
How about Ian, what's his name? Ian Glenn, the guy who plays Jorah Mormont as Kurt Rambis. I think you look at the guy from the painting American Gothic as Adam Silver when he's young. That's a good joke. Fuck you.
I don't think I got it.
You've seen American Gothic, the painting?
Oh, I was like, oh yeah, yeah, the famous painting.
Finally, somebody will tell the story of the Showtime Lakers.
No one has heard of them.
Trump's not into this one.
No, I am, but it's like that whole late Generation X fixation with sports stuff that happened when they were 14.
That's true.
Like it's the Bill Simmons thing, and I totally appreciate it because when I'm 48. I'll be talking about, the Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa home run chase and how it was the greatest thing that ever happened.
You know what's crazy is Bill Laimbeer, he used to hit people. Isn't that nuts?
What is our story going to be? Like our generation? Like when the Adam McKay's son makes a fucking HBO series?
What is the biggest sports story of our lifetimes?
That's a really good question. When Warren Sapp got caught with those prostitutes.
Yeah, that's it. That's the one.
Oh, I'm trying to think. Because I can think of some big upsets, but I don't know. Like, because this is like a dynasty. You could do like the Patriots, but I don't think the Patriots are as interesting.
They're not.
As the Showtime like methodical. Lakers.
Like Showtime Lakers, the whole point is that they're so flashy. Like the Patriots really aren't. They're methodical winners.
It's attractive because it's a mix of the excess of the 80s combined with the excess of Los Angeles in the 80s with success on the basketball court. So like I get that story and I'm trying to think of something like equally as fascinating that has happened in my lifetime.
I mean like the Warriors would be that team, I guess, now, but because they are like just an incredible dynasty of players, but like it's also just not as interesting, I guess. I don't know why. I can't explain it.
I do remember the Bulls being really fun to like. You can't really pay attention to a team that much back in the day. All you got was ESPN, but like they used to, you know, that year that what they go 82 and whatever. And they just used to go out and get fucking drunk every night and show up hungover for the games.
Maybe something on like Biogenesis or like the Boston breaking the curse.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. The, that just reminds me of, Icarus on Netflix. You ever see that? The one where the Russian dude,
yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, he started off with trying to dope himself to see how he does in an amateur bike race, and he essentially uncovered the Russian doping scandal.
Yeah.
Jeff, have you thought of any sporting moments, or are we just big nerds who can't talk sports?
I don't know which one would be interesting because I feel like we've seen the 30 for 30s have covered some interesting stuff that you wouldn't think of, so I'm sure it's something we haven't thought of, right?
It should be something that we have, right?
Like, I mean, it's not an obvious one that I think would make a good one. It would be something controversial, but not too controversial. You don't want it like hokey and just over the top. Damn.
Yeah, I'm even just trying to think of like you're saying, even something like Lance Armstrong, like was in a sport where like while it was a big deal, it's like nobody lost much. They didn't lose sleep over it unless you were in the cycling world.
That's what I was thinking. Like the baseball thing has been, I guess, really big, even though like personally, like I don't have like a giant connection with baseball. Like you couldn't really walk like 5 feet without hearing something about the steroid use. And that all started to break.
Yeah. And the thing about the like Sosa Maguire, like while that might sound like it makes for a good movie, it's also like that record's been broken.
But I think about it this way, right? Like if you were to make a movie about that, you could have the first half of it about the actual like home run, like the race. And then the second half of it about like the fallout afterwards.
Mm. Kevin Costner's got to be involved in this though.
Yeah. Somehow. I don't know.
Oh, geez.
This is right up to Cost God's alley.
Man, I'm trying to think sports.
He plays Jose Canseco.
Sports thing that would make sense. That's just tough. It's something like it's a Moneyball type thing is what I want to see. I know we're getting off like, well, no, not really. It's kind of the same thing. But yeah, I want to see something like Moneyball Center. Something a little off the beaten path that is really interesting and you can get really dive into details.
And even something that's like a great story or like what I consider to be a great story in terms of just being interesting. The arc of Tiger Woods and his life and his career. I don't know if that would make a great movie.
No, it would be over dramatized to a point where it would just be obnoxious.
It'd be over dramatized and like not only like overly sappy, but like the downfall would basically be like him cackling while driving 130 miles an hour. And so on speakerphone, like, "You're off the rails, Tiger. You need to get a grip."
I don't want to see a story that's like an overly happy ending, like we see with a lot of like Kevin Costner ones, because that's not good to me anymore. It's too corny. It's too cheesy. Where Moneyball, like, yeah, Moneyball, it's kind of, it gets tacky at times, but not really. Like they still lose. It's still a little gritty with some things. It's, you know, it's dark at times. It's not like overly too happy. That's the type of thing I do want to see. Maybe it is steroids. I don't know. But then again, Concussion was a piece of shit movie. And that was over something dark. So
yeah. Well, I think going back to the Showtime Lakers, like I Adam McKay doing this is good because I trust his ability to make it interesting. Not that it isn't interesting, but like a movie on the Showtime Lakers could go either way.
A series is what it's going to be.
Oh, a series. Sorry.
But regardless, yeah,
it could go either.
A movie chopped up.
Yeah. Well, the less involvement that the actual like Lakers have on it, the better it'll probably be. So.
True. Okay. That's that for news. Let's get into our reviews. I'm sure we won't spend too much time on these.
Oh, Walton Goggins can play Larry Bird.
I like that.
I don't know. His face isn't long enough. It's very bulbous.
He's got to get a face elongator.
It's acting, baby.
How about a series, like a mockumentary of the making of Space Jam?
That'd be funnier, actually.
It's just some 23-year-old guy wearing a No Fear t-shirt editing Michael Jordan clips on a green screen into like Bugs Bunny cartoons that are coming back from a animation shop overseas.
I'm just thinking of like, I thought you meant the original Space Jam, and just imagining like a camera crew with Michael as he goes to like Muggsy Bogues' house. He's like, yeah, you're going to be in this movie. And he's like, no, thank you. And he's like, no, like you're going to be in this movie. And Muggsy Bogues is just like, yes, sir.
Sir, yes. Anything for you.
Michael Jordan makes the cameraman drink gasoline and he does it because it's Michael Jordan.
What was I going to do? It's Mike.
All right, let's start it out. Our reviews are spoiler reviews. I mean, come on. You know, of course it is. All right. Curse of La Llorona. In the 1970s, Los Angeles, the legendary ghost La Llorona is stalking the night, and the children, ignoring the eerie warning of a troubled mother, a social worker, and her own kids are drawn into a frightening supernatural realm. Their only hope of surviving La Llorona's deadly wrath is a disillusioned priest who practices mysticism to keep evil at bay. This movie is part of the Conjuring universe. The Conjuring universe, of course, we mentioned this a couple weeks ago, features The Conjuring, The Conjuring 2, The Conjuring 3, Annabelle, Annabelle Creation, Annabelle Comes Home, coming out later this year, The Nun, and don't forget, The Curse of La Llorona, the next spinoff movie, The Crooked Man. We can't forget about The Crooked Man. All very excited for that bad boy.
It's me! I'm the Crooked Man!
Cannot wait. This movie stars Linda Cardellini, also in Avengers Endgame, Raymond Cruz, Patricia Velasquez, who plays somebody in the movie named Patricia. That always fascinates me for some reason. Rotten Tomatoes, I think 32%. Let's take a look. People want to hear us give Metacritic scores more. Metacritic has it pretty fucking low, if I recall correctly. Yeah, it's at a 41. This movie fucking sucks, man. I despise this movie. It was so boring. Such a boring movie. I actually dislike this more than I dislike The Nun. I gave this a 21 out of 100. I really dislike this movie. This movie was jump scare. This movie made The Nun seem like The Nun didn't have jump scares. And I don't know. I'm sure there's a possibility the ratio is greater in The Nun, but this one, it just stuck out more to me. The whole movie just felt like continuous setup for a jump scare. And it got into like the lore a little bit in the beginning, but I started reading up on The Curse of La Llorona. And it's like, I mean, it's pretty fucked up mythology and like, it's through Mexican culture, I believe. And it's just not, it doesn't work. It's not interesting. It doesn't draw me in. And again, the whole thing just feels like a cheap way to get people to jump out of their seats a little bit. Except it doesn't, because it's not scary. It's just not a scary movie whatsoever. Curse of La Llorona, 21 out of 100. I don't like these spinoffs. The Conjuring movies are, for the most part, pretty decent. This just feels so out of place. Like, I get it's in the universe. I don't like it. Not a fan. Did not like this movie whatsoever.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear Ken Jack's thoughts on this one.
I'll go in a second, but I just have to go to the bathroom. So, Trill, you could take it away first.
No, actually, Jeff, I did not watch this movie. I did not see it. I didn't watch it, Jeff. I'm sorry. Ken Jack saw it, though.
I'm back from the bathroom.
I just told Jeff I didn't watch the movie.
You didn't watch it?
No.
Oh. How could you not watch The Curse of La Llorona?
What did you think?
It's the Conjuring universe.
I think it's... I kept thinking the whole time about it, like, I was trying to think of a My Serona joke. I didn't think of one in time.
La Llorona.
Damn it. I wish I thought it was before. I would have made a skip for
it. Oh, his mic conveniently went out.
He got so fucking excited about My Serona, he unplugged his mic. So, Ken Jack, I do want to recall something with The Nun, because I forgot you actually gave The Nun a decent score, right?
I think I gave it like a 60.
Yeah, you gave it in the 60s. I don't like the 70s.
It was a very subjective score, an extremely subjective score, because once again, Catholic shit scares the shit out of me, having gone out religion classes and all that stuff like most of my early childhood days. That scared me. This did not scare me at all. The parts of it for me that I could understand, which wasn't much, was that Linda Cardellini was some sort of truant officer and that she was trying to investigate La Llorona, which is weird. Like cursed lady wearing a white sheet all the time for some reason. And I didn't like it. I'm giving it 15. And first half of it was not terrible. I did like the intro scene with like whatever was like 1600 or some shit. But then like everything after that just was very slow. Second half of it was terrible. It wasn't scary. I did like the guy Victor, or who was the main male actor in that again?
Raymond Cruz.
Yeah, Raymond Cruz. It's guy from Breaking Bad, right? Like the psycho guy.
I didn't put that together.
Yeah, no, I like him. Linda Cardellini was like, I would say just okay. And she's my queen. It's very tough to say otherwise. But yeah, I don't know. Not good. Not scary. A lot of jump scares. And for considering the amount of jump scares, like you said, just not scary.
$9 million budget. It made $60 million at the box office.
I mean, there you go. That's all you need. You get that's what horror movies are all about. Low budget, high returns.
So did I make a mistake in not seeing this one?
Well, it's going to be funny when we do a worst movies of the year and you're going to have to watch, you're going to have to at least skim through La Llorona. So I'm excited to hear your review of this movie in January 2020.
Yeah, well, I don't think it'll make my list.
You think it's too good?
You're going to have to scrub through a couple DNWs, did not watch it. But we'll get there when the time comes. Maybe. No, you should not be disappointed you didn't watch this. This movie fucking, I would have liked to hear your thoughts, but I'm not interested enough to care what your thoughts are either.
The non-James Wan ones have not been very good.
No, they haven't. They have not been, and they should just stop making them. The second Annabelle was bizarrely not awful, but people liked it. I didn't like it. Did not like it, but it wasn't as bad as the other stuff they've had. And you're right, Ken. So I want to go back to one thing you said, Kendrick. This movie starts in Mexico in like the 1600s.
Why did it stay in Mexico? Why did it go to L.A.?
Why did it not? Yeah. Another reviewer on YouTube, Chris Stuckman, really good reviewer. He mentioned the same thing. He's like, why is this movie in L.A.? Why is this in L.A.? This is something from Mexican culture. Keep it in Mexico. I don't know why it's in L.A. It just doesn't make any sense.
El Chupacabra in North Dakota. Makes perfect sense.
I mean, I get L.A. L.A. it fits at least like culturally, obviously. However, it shouldn't be there. Like it just – the setting felt weird. I don't like the look of the Conjuring movies, especially the spinoffs. So it's a bad movie.
What did it have to do with The Conjuring?
I couldn't put that together.
Like it's in the Conjuring universe, but when I go see a movie that's in some universe, I am getting the promise of connectivity and some relatedness. And from the looks of this movie, it's just a scary movie. And it has the Annabelle doll apparently appeared in this one. And then it has Father Perez played by Tony Amendola.
And that's the only connection?
That's the only crossover that I can tell.
Who is like, yes. Like when you see the movie this weekend, when we see them in those suits we've seen in the trailers, that's a crossover. But like who's clamoring for this? I mean, it made money.
$50 million worth of people, I guess.
But like that's still in the grand scheme of things, that's not a lot of money.
It has a deleted scene that would have made the Conjuring connection more clear, according to Collider. Outside of some appearances, there's a screen scene. It's too much for me to read. You can Google it.
Basically, if there was anything subtle, I did not catch it. That's for sure.
Yeah. What do you call it? The one connection that I saw, I didn't read that same Collider article that you read, Tro, but I did read a different one. And in that one, they said that the one connection was going to be Old Cerdo, which is roughly in Spanish, old pig. So if old costs was the one connecting factor that they had to cut. I mean, I guess they were just stretched for time.
Oh, no. Old Gus.
How do you say old Gus in life? Spanish? I was trying to Google that and stall the entire time I was saying that.
I'm going to try to do this in the accent I've been doing. I don't know.
No, Viejo no. Gus.
Esto es Viejo Gus. This is old Gus.
Viejo Gus. R.I.P. Viejo Gus. If he was in the 70s, he would not be alive today. Unless he was young Gus, like the young Pope.
Patrick Wilson having a look at the camera. My God. It's old Gus.
It's old Gus. He's like the bye-bye man.
We had to remove. I keep doing the high-pitched one and the low-pitched one. I need to stick to one. We had to remove old Gus's left testicle. He was climbing over a barbed wire fence and got caught.
And then once he removed that one, he started chewing on the other one. Had to remove that too to ward off infection.
Fucking old Gus, man. What a guy. So, for La Llorona, Ken Jack gave it a 15. I gave it a 21. Audience gave it a 19 out of 100.
Ooh, old not Gus. Great. I dress old Gus in Duluth Trading Company overalls. Keep him warm.
Poor old Gus.
Trobons gave it a DNW. Did not watch. We'll get the full thoughts in January. That's a guarantee. That's an LCB guarantee. Not to sign you up for anything.
Yeah, I'll watch it this weekend.
You're in Avengers Endgame, sir. Please turn your phone off. I'm watching The Curse of La Llorona, the stream that I found.
Sir, please, there are no hogs allowed in this theater.
Shut the fuck up.
Pet Sematary. Next up, Dr. Creed and his wife, Rachel, relocate from Boston to rural Maine with their two young children. The couple soon discover a mysterious burial ground hidden deep in the woods near their home. When tragedy strikes, they turn to their neighbor, Judd, played by John Lithgow, setting off a perilous chain reaction that unleashes an unspeakable evil with horrific consequences. Again, spoiler review. We'll get right into it. I mean, the big twist in this movie, in the end, the entire family is resurrected. They one by one bury each other in beyond the grave of the pet cemetery. That's the twist, I guess. They're all like, it's basically the Talking Dead. It's like a weird Walking Dead pet cemetery type thing. I don't know the Pet Cemetery book. I don't even think I've seen the original movie, but I know it's not good. This movie didn't do a ton for me. I also didn't think it was awful. Like in some spots, I think the first, I think the buildup for a lot of the movie was decent. Like the first half of the movie, I actually didn't despise. It's when it really kicks into gear with people being resurrected from the grave that I really didn't like it. Like it really took me out of it. Wasn't a fan. I gave it a 61 out of 100. And if they would have landed the ending, I think this could have been actually pretty decent. I think this could have been 70s, 80s. I really like the buildup, but it kind of came crashing down and brought this down to 60s. Might end up blowing this into the 50s, but my initial score, 61 out of 100. Audience gave it a 64 out of 100. Again, this was near, and I thought 70s, 80s, and I was like, this actually might be good. And the way it wrapped up, I didn't love it. Like it was overly simple. Like it wasn't too twisty. I didn't connect on a horror level at the end. Cause I thought in the beginning it was pretty creepy. It kind of fell flat for me, which is unfortunate. Cause I think there were some pieces there where it could have worked. What did you guys think, Ken Jack?
I gave it a 51 out of 100. The beginning is so muddled down with like spoken word exposition, which as every single review, I make a point to like say, like, I hate that. I really just genuinely despise spoken word exposition. And like, if you leave some of it to context clues, especially in horror, like you can either let people think that it's a mystery and that it's not supposed to be explained, or let them try and figure it out on their own. And the fact that they muddled through so much of just talking about the pet cemetery, talking about the curses, reading it out of fucking weird book things that they found, it was bad. I didn't like Jason Clarke's performance at all. I thought that I didn't enjoy him. I did like, oh my God, I'm blanking on his name. Gus, who played Gus?
John Lithgow?
Yeah, John Lithgow. I thought John Lithgow, if he played like the grandpa, if you axe out shit ass Jason Clark and his terrible American accent, and you just kept John Lithgow as like the grandpa or something, I'd like this movie 100 times more. And just, I didn't enjoy him. I didn't, the wife was okay. The kid was whatever. The cat, worst actor in the whole movie by far. Did not believe it was dead for a second. It was just not overall a good movie. I actually disagree with you in that I enjoyed the ending a little bit, like when they all go up to the car. Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool.
I gave this a 70. I enjoyed it.
Care to elaborate?
Okay.
It was just easy to get through. It didn't require much thinking. I was a big fan of the original movie, and I actually watched some of the original movie, maybe – there are multiple of them, but like the one I'm thinking of, I watched as a kid. It's very creepy, but it hasn't aged well. I thought this was a pretty faithful, like there's some differences here and there, but like it's pretty faithful adaptation of that movie. But maybe not intentionally, maybe the book, but I haven't read the book, so I can't compare. I like the concept. I like the creepiness of burying something and having it come back like alive, but not actually alive. And I think there's some good questions that you can think about in terms of like what it means to be alive that maybe come from it, not necessarily from the movie itself, but just some post viewing critical analysis.
Actually, Game of Thrones explored this when Khal Drogo was brought back to life by the witch and was not all there. So they did it first, just saying.
It's true.
Ahead of the 1980 something movie.
The Mountain too. And I like that idea. I like the resurrection, yet like not actually being fulfilled with the real life, and like the mere presence of somebody not necessarily being the actual presence. And I don't know if that makes sense, but I just I really liked the vibe of this one, and it resonated with me. And like I will admit, like there's a lot of talking. John Lithgow does a really good job as always. He has looked like the same age since he was 35.
Correct.
Yeah. Like, he has aged into his age, but when he was 35, he looked the same. But I enjoyed it, and I liked the ending. It was kind of where you expected it to go, and I'm fine with that.
It's definitely easy to get through. I actually don't disagree with that, but that's also kind of my critique, though. I wanted something a little more
like challenging
out there. And again, that's where I thought it was going. I thought it was going there. I really do, because maybe flat isn't the word. Well, it did land flat because it really brought my score down pretty hard at the ending. The wrap-up, it just didn't work for me. It just was bland. Overly simple. I'll say that again. That's
fair, yeah.
That's where I'll land on it with that.
Yeah. Mm. I did – nothing scared me too much in the movie, but the part where Lithgow gets his Achilles slice, that freaked me out. Anything with an Achilles freaks me the fuck out.
No matter the movie, if you get your Achilles slice, I'm not going to like it.
Mm-mm. Didn't like one bit.
The cat was a piece of shit too.
Bad, just bad cat actor. I didn't buy it.
Jason Clark, I actually didn't dislike.
His accent was so bad.
His accent can get weird in movies, though. Have you noticed that?
They've had him play Americans a lot and recently, and he's also in that movie. I don't know, whatever the post World War II one that's coming out recently, where he plays a British army officer or something. And his British accent isn't very good either. His American is bad. His British is bad, and like, I mean, I just want to hear him speak with an Australian accent.
That one is weird, because I actually didn't understand where he was supposed to. I know they showed it, but like, I was confused where he's supposed to be from the trailer, because the accent is so bizarre. I was very confused at first on that.
That's what I'm saying. He's not good at accent work. He needs a coach or something. Terminator Genesis? His accent was weird. And it was good in Mudbound when it was like Southern drawl, but I guess so, like Southern drawl is like the easiest, like almost like the Cockney accent of American accents. Did like that.
Old Gus. I took old Gus. I buried him in the old pet cemetery, and he came back and chewed through an entire bag of baby diapers.
old Gus is back.
I like the idea of Cockney old Gus better.
No, I know what you're saying though, Jeff. Like I think there are a lot of the movie got me to think, but the movie didn't challenge me to think itself. It was kind of just after the movie, I started thinking about more stuff. You know what I'm saying? So like, I guess they could have gone deeper. There maybe could have been like a more significant meaning, but at the same time, it's like, I'm not familiar with the works of Stephen King. So like, I don't know how much he writes into those books. I just know it was pretty solid. It's scary. This is my type of scary movie. Like, I don't like the jump scares. I like the creepy semi-dead things that aren't quite zombies. They're just kind of dead.
Well, we talked about this like 2 weeks ago, right? Like, or through to like at least within the last month, zombies just in general, just
yeah. But I like the concept of something that has its full cognitive abilities yet does not retain its humanity. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like Warm Bodies, which we brought up as well, the one with Nicholas Holt.
Yeah, because I think that gets into the bigger challenge about like what, you know, what constitutes being human and what constitutes really being alive. This is, I'm thinking at a sixth grade level here right now, so please don't pretend like I am saying anything, like trying to be smart. I'm just
a talking dead.
Just a guy trying to talk it out.
No, I think that's a good point.
I got a zombie hog.
No, man. Where's Cockney old Gus?
Dead Gus. Hello, where old Gus?
Well, Gus from Liverpool.
Play all the hits, old Gus.
So Pet Sematary, Trill gives it a 70. I give it a 61. Ken Jack a 51. Audience a 64 out of 100. Yeah. So this was a lull for reviews. I mean, let's just say it like it is. This was not the most exciting exciting review week in the world, but we have a lot of great ones coming up. Let's recap those quick, and then we'll do a few audience questions. Shorter pod, maybe, but that's not going to matter. Let me just say that. That's again your hint for tomorrow. We have our review for Avengers Endgame next week, and then Long Shot the week after that. Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron. We haven't done a comedy in a long time.
Long time. What's done? Was it Blockers?
No, there had to
have been something one between that, yeah.
But there couldn't have been more than one or
no,
two.
No, was it? Holmes and Watson was.
Yeah. Sure. Oh God, I mean that.
Oh, that was man. Technically a comedy.
My goodness, Watson, how did old Gus get so large?
C-3PO now. Oh my! The Millennium Falcon is tilting to one side due to old Gus. He is eating the space chessboard.
Oh my!
Detective Pikachu. That's the week after that, and then John Wick Chapter 3, Parabellum, and then Aladdin, then Godzilla King of the Monsters, and Rocket Man. We might move Rocket Man though, because Godzilla might have to be a standalone review. Dark Phoenix after that. I'm sure we're. I don't know what to do. I can't wait for that trailer tomorrow. I can't wait for the trailers before Endgame. I hope we get the Skywalker trailer. And then Men in Black International. Trill just sent
smirking Daenerys.
Daenerys smirking as the Joker.
We live in a society.
All right, we got to do some audience questions here. This is an easy one for me. Would you rather keep getting Star Wars movies like planned and have Episode 9 be a 75 out of 100, or have Episode 9 be the last one ever but be a 100 out of 100, better than Empire? Give me the 100 out of 100. Yeah, I don't ever need another Star Wars movie. You got fucking 9 of them, 11 of them.
Yeah, but so many of them are bad. Not so many of them, but a decent amount of them are bad.
Yeah, I'm fine with just one more great one.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm a 34-year-old man, and at a point in my life, I thought no more Star Wars movies were ever going to be made.
Exactly.
So I have been fine with that, and if they ended it on a 100 out of 100 note, that could be the best way to go out. The thing that like this makes me think about is a Star Wars movie without a connection to the current universe or the Skywalkers like even worth exploring? Like, does that still interest you? Or is that, I mean, like, cause The Mandalorian interests me, but that's a TV show. Like if they said, okay, we're going to come out with a new mainline Star Wars movies and we've already ended the Skywalker saga, where do you go?
I know that you expand the lore. You could go, necessarily involving the Skywalkers or anything like that at all.
Would you care at that point is what I'm getting at.
The tough thing with these new trilogies is going to be like, if they don't pull people in with these new characters in the first movie, what the fuck are they going to do? I mean, like, cause even the prequels, like Phantom Menace sucked, but there were so many elements there of things you knew already that no matter what, people were still going to be pulled into the next one. Boba Fett. Oh shit. You know, the next one's like a Vader helmet. So no matter what, you had something that you connected to. Where these new ones, I'm sure they will have some nuggets here and there, but they also can't have too many, or it's going to be this is overabundance on this small universe shit that people want them to get rid of. So
yeah.
Yeah.
So I'd be fine with them wrapping. Like, I'm fine either way. Like, if I could get a 75 out of 75 and keep getting 75 average.
Well, 75 totals, out of 75 is just 100. So you're agreeing with the first one.
Damn, owned.
Truth. I'll fell back on you.
Fuck.
Oh. This is a food.
I don't know. I think I'm taking the more movies. I don't need another 100 out of 100.
Oh, I respect that. And that's what I was saying, is I'd be happy either way, but I would love for everything I've known and grown up with to be wrapped in a tight bow and ended the way I want it and completely destroyed for future generations.
Mm, fair enough.
Yeah, you guys can't enjoy the thing. It's for me.
Only for me, not for you.
It's for me and my generation. Luke belongs to me.
And think if I had your perspective of like not thinking there's going to be any more, be different. Like, I think I was like 5 when they announced the first one. So I never really was conscious enough to like get that, like, I guess, feeling of like, oh, this is the only thing I have. So I guess I was a little bit spoiled in that regard, but I want more. I want as much as possible.
Well, that's why again, you're young, but like I was 15 when the prequels were coming out. And Jeff, you were probably 11, 12, 10. Something like that.
19.
It was 99, right? So 99. No, you were like 2 years older than 99. Me.
Yeah, I was like 7 or 8. Yeah, I forgot how old it was.
Well, the thing was, like, you know, I grew up watching Star Wars, and the prequel was such a big deal because it really did feel like hell was freezing over. Because it had been, you know, 17, 16 years since the previous movies. But in terms of like time away and like what George Lucas had done, nothing really. People felt like they're never coming. And that's why everybody was so hyped up about it. And that's why everyone was so disappointed when The Phantom Menace stunk.
I'm glad I witnessed The Phantom Menace when I was a kid and liked it at first. Like, I can't. Oh my God. The trailer for that Kenneth Branagh, William Shakespeare movie is on my TV right now. It's so,
hell yeah.
I can't look at it.
He looks so, that makeup job is just something else.
It's horrifying. By the way, did you guys see the picture of Gary Busey with the mascot Gru?
Yes. The funniest thing about that is that it does imply that Gary Busey is 14 feet tall.
It does.
You have to think that. The mascot, Gru's too thick. Isn't Gru kind of lanky at some points?
Yeah, no, he's top heavy. And
his legs are lanky.
Super skinny. This one should be way wider to compensate for human legs.
Yeah, but it I don't feel like this Gru tapers to the acceptable proportions of what a Gru would do.
What do you think Gru's inseam is?
47.
I don't know if that's reasonable or not, because I don't know, like a barometer for what inseam should be.
He's got like a 22-inch crotch drop and a 47-inch inseam. No, it's more like a 4-inch crotch drop because he's got one of those like cartoon crotches that are just very svelte.
Yeah. What if he even has a penis? I mean, it's not canon, is it? He doesn't have it. I don't know if they explicitly say in any Despicable Me that he has a cock and balls.
Dude, he's definitely got that lobster on him.
He has
a yappa.
Does he have a
dick and balls? You're going to find stuff you don't want to see.
That big red lobster.
No, I'm just looking up his pictures.
He's got a weird curve, like 45 degree angles left.
I mean, this is him. This is him in a tight. This is him in a tight suit. I don't see any bulge or anything.
Oh my God, smooth Groot or smooth Gru.
He doesn't have anything.
There's no bulge. I mean, but he also doesn't have a waist. And yeah, I don't know. I just I'm not feeling this Gru costume. I think the proportions are off, and I think everybody involved with it should be fired.
He's way too heavy to not have a fupa. That just doesn't make sense. Like, and technically speaking,
I feel like I can see this person's face behind the mouth veil.
Here's a picture of him. Here's a picture of him with a wedgie, and you can see a lot. Just search Gru naked. Trust me, it's nothing vulgar.
Jeez, he's got that Hank Hill cake.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, small ass. Yeah,
what
wow.
The fuck?
Also,
yeah, search no dick and balls.
Search Gru Halloween costumes and have a good time trying to sleep later in the night.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Terrifying.
Dick look like Gru.
Then yes, there will be no cock and ball torture here.
Oh, man. let's move on to a food question. When you make a PB&J, which do you spread first? somebody wants to know. I mean, peanut I spread them on opposite sides of the bread. So
yeah, I was about to say that. I do peanut butter on one side and then jelly on the other.
Yeah.
I do squirt jelly because I am a child.
Mm. Do you do it the right way where like you put the pieces of bread with the toppings on it on the hand side and then you crush the dry side in between like the sandwich?
What do you mean dry side?
Like the dry side is the middle of the sandwich. And then the wet side is what you're grabbing with your hands.
I don't know. I'll tell you what I do. I take a piece of bread, I spread peanut butter on it, and then I squirt the jelly on top of the peanut butter and put the bread on top of that.
Squirt it.
what flavored jelly is your favorite?
Grape.
Yeah, I go grape.
It's funny because I don't like grapes.
Concord grape jelly doesn't really taste like grapes.
That's very true.
What about a designer jelly, like a fancy jelly? Because I like a nice date. Currant jelly, if I'm going fancy.
Do you ever go with the Sir Kensington ketchup?
What the fuck is that?
Fancy ketchup. You see it at Whole Foods sells Sir Kensington.
Is it just ketchup or does it have like something in it?
It's just ketchup that tastes different than Heinz.
Oh, no, I like Heinz. It's either Whataburger, shout out to Jeff for that one. Like
that ketchup is...
Their ketchup's delicious, or it's Heinz. And you can get Whataburger bottles.
Yeah, I don't need any Hunts.
I sent you guys the method I was talking about.
Oh, you're trying to make a joke.
Oh, okay. It was a bit where you hold the pee. Okay.
I thought you guys were hip to the memes, but I was just really bad at explaining it.
That one, that's the meme now. Yeah.
This Gru costume looks like the baby Grinch and One Punch Man had a kid.
Oh. Yeah, search baby Gru costume while you're listening to this. You don't need the app open.
Just Gru. Don't search baby Gru.
Remember when iPhone got multitasking for the first time?
Yes.
Wild. You can play your music while you're in other apps. Crazy shit.
Oh, the funniest thing is like first iPhone desktop and like how sparse like the actual like I don't even want to call them apps on the phone were. Here we go.
Oh yeah,
you had text, calculator, photos, camera, calendar, stocks. Yeah, that stock app's a real big hit.
Native YouTube. Don't forget native YouTube app.
Ooh,
there wasn't even a native YouTube app on the first one, was there?
Yes, there was.
Not on the first one.
Yeah, there was.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Remember how bad Apple Maps was?
And you were on the Edge network. So if you didn't have Wi-Fi and you used the Edge network to watch a YouTube video, it was just pixels. It was like 5 pixels moving around the screen.
That phone looks like shit.
Yeah. Yeah. They're tiny. That's crazy, man. You know, we live in a society, technology and all that. It's just crazy. Like what if
I'm a trickster?
What if technology turned against us?
I had handwritten letters.
A guy in my high school got the iPhone, but didn't use it for the phone purpose and then used his regular phone. And he always said he used the iPhone to watch films.
Films? Yeah. I don't like that term.
That person sounds like they drive a Mini Cooper.
No, that's not shit on Mini Coopers here.
What, you a Mini Cooper guy?
Who doesn't like a good Mini Cooper? Did you not watch The Italian Job?
I like the club band or the countryman or whatever the bigger Mini Cooper is. I think those are slick.
Let me be clear. I've never Obama voice. Let me be clear. I've never driven one, but they look really cool. And I think that I couldn't be caught dead in one, but I also think I would not judge anyone for ever driving one.
Do you remember the shutter speed on the first iPhone camera?
Yes.
Like 3 seconds.
It was big time camera delay. Oh boy, this is a big no. All right, frozen mayonnaise with ketchup and fries.
Nope, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm out on that one. I don't quite get that one.
That's some St. Louis shit right there. Jesus Christ.
That sounds like some gastro pub frozes a cake of mayonnaise and then puts it on their burger and then melts right in front of you.
There was a show on – oh, yeah, the ketchup going on. It actually is – oh, man, that actually kind of made me gag. There is a show – there was a show on Food Network, like Foods Science or something. I don't know. I forget what it's called. But they did a test in a grocery store where they had these small cups and they called it salmon ice cream. And people were like, oh, what the fuck? That's disgusting. And then they repurposed it in the grocery store to be like a spread for crackers and people ate it and loved it. It's like the perception of like how the food is pushed. It was like salmon ice cream, gross. But then they like someone spreads it on a cracker. Like, okay, that's something that I might like on some sort of charcuterie board.
Yeah, kind of like Pedialyte when they rebrand it to like adult hydration beverage.
Yeah, that was a smart move.
That's true. That was very smart. Great marketing move.
I feel like they took my secret.
Babies don't even have any fucking money.
Yeah, idiots.
Babies dumb can't drink.
Babies.
Are you buying your baby a Pedialyte? Well, he had a tough night at Molly McShay's Irish Pub and Grill.
All that fucker did was sleep all day. What does he need rehydration for?
What is the we'll end with this. What is the saddest frozen meal you've ever eaten?
Every Celeste pizza I've ever eaten, which is a lot. There's a lot of them.
Oh, no.
They sold them 10 for 10 at Stop and Shop, and I would do it every time I saw them.
No, they're the fucking worst.
They're disgusting. And the worst thing is I wouldn't even like toaster oven them so that they tasted good. I microwaved them. So they were like soggy as shit. And they were so gross. But I was just like a fat pig. And I was like, just put it in my mouth.
Oh my God.
The saddest meal I've ever eaten. I've eaten so many of them.
I feel like you're a frozen egg roll guy.
So my wife is joining us right now. She's in the room. Come closer to the mic, please. He can come closer. The mic's not going to bite. Old Gus might. What's the most disgusting thing you've ever seen me eating? You're good at remembering stuff like this. I know you can think of it.
Disgusting.
I do. All right. Can we do a story time real quick?
Yes.
This is a new segment. My lovely wife, who is an amazing mother to our kids.
We have one kid.
to our kid. So I heard you had an incident with one of our dogs today.
Playing the situation.
Okay, so the dog was sitting on the couch, and you're sitting next to the dog. And this dog's a French bulldog. It's a tiny little dog. She's very cute, but what does the dog do?
Projectile vomited.
Oh. Okay, so the dog projectile vomited, but what was the worst part about this vomit? The vomit was shit, folks. The dog had apparently eaten its own shit outside and then come onto the couch. And where did all the shit vomit go?
Everywhere.
So it got on the couch.
It got on the floor.
Yeah, and what was the most precious thing it got on?
All of it.
The baby toys her baby plays with. She just shit vomits all over these baby toys. Now here's the best.
By the way,
here's the best part. She threw away the toys. The best part about this is I didn't do any shopping over the weekend, and we've been busy. And so she goes to clean it up. And what did we not have?
Paper towels.
We did not have paper towels, folks. God. We had no paper towels. So what did you use to clean up the dog shit vomit?
Old baby clothes.
Old baby clothes.
They weren't even covered in shit of a different variety, so it was fine.
Old baby clothes that will never be worn again were used to clean up shit vomit thrown away.
That is absolutely fucking disgusting. Oh my God.
I walked in the house and you handed me the baby, and what's the first thing I said?
Did the dog have a shit situation?
I didn't even say hi to her. I didn't say, I love you, I miss you. I came in, I looked at her, I go, did the dog shit in here? She goes, yes. I'm like, on the carpet? No, thank God.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, thank you for coming to tell this story. I found it very funny because I didn't have to clean it up.
You didn't have to deal with it.
Who would have thought her first full story time would be shit vomit?
What's that?
I had to inspect the baby for shit splatter, too.
Oh, yeah, and she did like a thrice over on the baby to make sure the baby didn't have shit vomit on it. I lived in an old house once, and a dog did the same thing, like, except it just shit, had diarrhea, but it had diarrhea into like a floor vent.
Oh, like no.
A floor air vent. God. So I had to remove the floor air vent and clean out the dog diarrhea from the air vent.
Oh, this got so gross.
Yeah. Anyway, that's been story time with what the Ballances is.
I'm sending, if anyone wants to search Amy's Light and Lean Three Cheese Penne Marinara, this is the worst thing I've ever had.
Oh. Yeah.
Google Amy's Three Cheese Penne Marinara.
The cheese is like welded to the pasta.
Yes, that is correct.
Jesus Christ.
I'm trying to think of, like, I've eaten so much shitty stuff that doesn't really register to me as shitty. Like, you know, when you get older, like when you're like 17, you're hitting up the CC's pizza buffet and you're like, this is delicious. And then you go back now and you're like, oh man, that wasn't all that great. It's like that, except I can't remember what I was eating.
Do you ever have food you could fork?
I don't know, man. I like that stuff.
No, I do. That's what I'm saying. I genuinely do.
I've had two. One I didn't care for. One I liked.
I only ever had the bacon mac and cheese, and it was very good.
Mm. The most disgusting food I've ever eaten.
I think it's easily all the Celeste frozen pizza discs that I've eaten. But other than that, I think that's basically
what,
it.
What are Celeste? Is that a regional thing?
Celeste. It's like a tiny personal frozen pizza. That and also Elio's pizza, whatever that is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know a lot of people who like Elio's pizza.
It's just like it doesn't taste good. That's just a fact. But like my parents used to buy it all the time, and me and my brothers would just plow through it. And again, the worst thing about it is that we wouldn't heat up in the oven, which would make it at least palatable. We'd heat up in the microwave, so it was like eating a bath mat. It was just like a soggy bath mat.
Oof. You know, now that I think about it, I think those Lunchable chicken tenders from that one episode I combined all the Lunchables, that came close. That was just very disgusting.
That was disgusting. But there's a rider on that because it wasn't meant to be eaten that way. Like the things we're talking about, that's how they're meant to be consumed.
But by itself, though, even unwrapping those Lunchable hot dogs and getting a whiff of that hot dog air, it smells like you're sitting cross-legged on the floor on a hot day. It's just disgusting.
Yeah, I stand by the fact that the Lunchable hot dog thing is one of the grossest things I've ever seen in my life. Food
that was pretty bad. That was probably that has to be the grossest thing you've eaten, right? Or maybe not.
It was pretty gross. It was pretty gross. I've probably done some gross stuff. What about the sight of hot dogs boiling in a pot of water?
Mm.
Isn't that kind of gross?
Yeah, I don't like that.
Isn't that a gross visual?
By the way, I want to say Pop-Tarts fantastic. Not Pop-Tarts. Well, Pop-Tarts are fantastic. I haven't had a Pop-Tart in years, but toaster strudel, Hot Pockets.
I do like Hot Pockets. Lean Pockets specifically, I think I actually like the taste of Lean Pockets more than Hot Pockets.
Lean Pockets are better. That's my opinion as well.
Do you ever have I had the ham and cheese Hot Pocket once. Not a fan. Not a fan at all.
Do you ever have the burritos you get at like a 7-Eleven and heat them up on the microwave there?
God, no.
No. No.
They're not bad.
7-Eleven, we go into it all the time because it's right by work, and they sell like free like plastic wrapped chicken breast, just plain unseasoned plastic wrapped chicken breast. It sells like crazy
in our district.
Got it, but I always like want to get it to keto, but then I look at it and I see I'm like fucking Doctor Strange. I see all of my 14 million scenarios, and they all end in diarrhea. So I don't buy them.
It was that one that it was like the meat taquito where it was just nothing but meat. And it was something. It was not very good. Can't say. Those are gross. Have you ever had the Annie's frozen burritos? Those are pretty good.
I've never done the Annie's.
The organic ones. I like those.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Not that it makes a fucking difference.
They have the Indian food ones like that are like
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just like non-wraps with the curry. They're pretty good.
Naan is delightful.
Yeah, it's not like it's taking like chicken vindaloo and mixing it with like cilantro lime rice.
Anyone here a buffalo chicken dip person?
Yeah, of course.
Get some fresh naan.
Very good. Yeah,
spread the buffalo chicken dip on the naan. I think I mentioned that during our Super Bowl show.
Do you want to know what I ate for dinner tonight? I made myself a naan pizza. I took naan, put marinara sauce on it, some mozzarella among some other herbs, put it in the toaster oven for about like 10 minutes. And boy, it was delicious. It was garlic naan specifically. Very, very, very good. You ever have a banquet frozen meal? Those are the worst.
Yeah, banquet. I don't like Hungry Man.
We've talked about this before, but the banquet brownie, where it's just like eating a fucking welded sponge. Like, oh, those ones are good. Those are the absolute worst. It's basically an MRE. Actually, I've had MREs. MREs are definitely better.
Kids Cuisine ones. You used to have like the star cake on them.
Loved Kid Cuisine. And then the brownie, and you put the brownie and the entire brownie except like a centimeter in the middle is just overcooked and just charred.
It's just like half of it you couldn't get out because it was stuck to the side.
The corn, the Kid's Cuisine corn with the corn water. Kid's Cuisine corn water.
Oh, you know what I want to do? I want to make a frozen meal that's like the new Samsung flip phone that on the face side it has a frozen meal, and then you unfold it and it's a second frozen meal inside. Yeah.
Dual pack. I like that.
You get Casey Neistat. You get Casey Neistat to
test it
to promote it.
Yeah. I like that idea.
Apparently,
frozen brands.
Apparently, that phone's breaking.
Apparently, so it's a piece of shit. Well, so here's the thing. Here's the last thing we'll do. We're gonna hang up the old pod. Here's what's happening. So you know how on any phone you buy, any device for the most part, there's that protector on it, that plastic protector that you peel off, right? I mean, that's become commonplace when you buy technology. And so they sent these phones out to these influencers, the people who review and put them on YouTube. And there's this like plastic thing on the top of the Samsung phone. This is the one that folds. And people were peeling it, but it wasn't meant to be peeled. It's part of the screen in the phone. And so when they got about a third of the way, it ruined the screen. But again, it's like they do unboxings for a living. Every screen they unbox, MacBook, phone, anything, you rip the thing off. So now they're sending that phone out saying, don't rip this screen off. But at first, there was nothing on there. So these people were reviewing the phone. Almost everyone ripped that screen and the phone broke. That's it for the podcast. We have a big time review next week, Avengers Endgame. But the big thing you got to do is head to the podcast feed Thursday night, April 25th, 9:15 p.m. Something special sitting in there. Very excited for you guys to listen to it. I think you can kind of guess what it is. We'll have that ready to go. Enjoy Avengers Endgame. Do not fucking spoil it for people. Don't be a douchebag. So many people aren't. Like, we posted this recap and somebody replied with a spoiler. And it's just like, go fuck yourself. You suck. Like, I wish bad things upon people who do shit like that.
Big suck.
You're a soulless, lame person. Not you, then. Sorry.
Imagine that was Tro's first tweet in, like, forever. Was just an Avengers spoiler for some reason.
Make sure you go see Avengers Endgame. It's weird saying that. Damn, finally. For Ken, Jack, and Trill, I'm Jeff Lowe. We will talk to you on Monday night.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.
With a social disease, geography.